This is Alive with Joseph.
Tonight, I want to continue. Last week, we started talking about 2025, our year of light. And that's where I want to pick it off, reminding us from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. We are a peculiar people who have been called for peculiar experiences. Amen. That means that our experiences must be different from the world. Our experiences, according to God's design, our experiences must be different from the world. And part of it is because we are led by the light. We are in the light. We are children of the light. And we are light ourselves. Amen. And the book of Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1 to 3, it says, arise, shine, for your light is come. Say, my light is come. Say, my light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. If the Bible that you have in your hand is yours, underline, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to know thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I declare that kings are coming to the brightness of your rising in the name of Jesus. Kings are coming to the brightness of your rising in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We established last week that there are two types of light. Number one, we speak of the darkness shall cover the earth. Darkness shall cover the earth. And number two, we spoke of deep darkness, the people. When he speaks of the darkness shall cover the earth, we are talking about external darkness. Amen. Somebody say external darkness. Say external darkness. But when we talk about deep darkness, the people, he is speaking about darkness within. Say darkness within. Say darkness within. So when he speaks about deep darkness, he's referring to belief systems. He's referring to mindsets. He's referring to a state of our heart. He's referring to things that leads to mental barrenness. He's referring to things that, you know, speaking of reasoning in darkness and vanity of mind. Pastor touched a bit on it the other time when he was preaching about reasoning in darkness. Belief systems are so powerful. Belief systems are so, we are what we believe, to be honest with you. Hallelujah. Everything about us is what we believe. That is why it is so key that we believe right. And that is what the word of God is designed to do, to ensure that we believe right, that we believe what God has said about us. Amen. One of the wicked belief systems, I remember, you know, Steve was sharing with us the other day jokingly, and he said, you know, where I come from, the men there believe that the only way a woman listens is by beating her. It's a belief system. Where they believe that, you know what, the only way she listens is by beating. What a wicked belief system. And I believe that when you come into Christ, God begins to correct those kind of belief systems. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mindsets are powerful. Mindsets can be dangerous. They can either build you or break you down. Understanding that mindsets can be, you know, individual mindsets. They can be family mindsets. They can be, you know, a territorial mindset. You've seen different nations having different mindsets. You have seen different tribes having different mindsets. You have seen families with different mindsets. Therefore, it is important that you and I submit ourselves to the mindset of the word of God. Hallelujah. He says in the book of Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Hallelujah. And your ways are higher than my ways. When he said your thoughts are higher, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, he didn't mean that you cannot, it doesn't mean that you cannot have my thoughts. Hallelujah. Especially for us that are in the New Testament, for us that are born again. Remember, we now have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that, which means that we now have access to the thought of God. We have access to the thoughts of God. Say, I have access to the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. Understand that there are things that leads to mental barrenness. Where, you know, somebody's saying, my mind is not productive. Or you look at someone and you can see that mentally they are not being productive. You need to check what kind of a mind they have. That is a form of darkness. That is internal darkness as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will go through scriptures and see what the word of God says. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, I read the AMPC translation. It says, Ephesians 4:18 AMPC, it says their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that it is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Hallelujah. Here he's talking about, you know, internal darkness. He's talking about reasoning in darkness. He's talking about vanity of mind. Hallelujah. He says when we don't reason alongside his word, we become alienated from the life that is available in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus says, I've come so that you can have life and life more abundantly. It means that when we find ourselves not enjoying life in abundance, we need to check our reasoning. Have we submitted our thoughts to his thoughts? Every Sunday before Pastor preaches, he makes us confess this, that I believe the word of God. It is final authority in my life. Sometimes we confess it without even thinking about it. Is the word of God truly the final authority in your life? Is it dictating your reasoning? Is it dictating your decisions? Is it dictating your actions? Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. He says they are alienated, they are estranged, they are self-banished from the life of God. Hallelujah. This year you will not alienate yourself from the life of God in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says we have been brought near. We who once were not a people, we who once were far, now he has brought us near. He has not just brought us near, he has brought us in. Hallelujah. Now that we are in, we should enjoy the benefits of being in him. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Say, I am in him. Say, I am in him. Hallelujah. I want to do a long read today. I want us to just take time in the scriptures. And that is why we are fasting, to seek the scriptures, to seek God and encounter him. From the book of Romans chapter 1, from verse 18 to 32, the Bible speaks there of a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. From verse 18. Did I say 18? Yes. All right. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who held the truth in unrighteousness? He says they held the truth, but they held it in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest of them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God reveals himself in everything so that no man has an excuse. He says, I've done things, I keep showing myself to everybody so that no man should have an excuse. It means that even an atheist has no excuse. If they search deep down in their heart, they know that there is a God. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Glory to God. He says they became vain in their imaginations. Because of vain imaginations, their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and unfooted beasts and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Here he's talking about worshipping the creature more than the Creator. When he's talking about worshipping the creature more than the Creator, sometimes he's talking about us worshipping ourselves. He's talking about us worshipping our own opinions above his opinion. Glory be to Jesus. 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile actions. For even their women did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bend in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He says, because they removed God from their knowledge. May you not remove God from your knowledge this year in the name of Jesus. May you not carry yourself like somebody who has not encountered Jesus. Listen, it's one thing to be told about Jesus, but it's another thing to meet Jesus for yourself. There is a way that you have met Jesus and you know him for yourself. Because you know him personally, there is a way that you honor his word. Glory to God. He says, when you know him, but you begin to exalt your own thoughts, they were given over to a reprobate mind. 28. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. So he's talking about people that have removed God from their minds. Glory to God. I want to encourage you to get home and study that scripture and say, Father, I refuse to remove you from my mind. The TPT translation in verse 8:28, it calls that mind a worthless mind. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're still talking about internal darkness. Actually, Jesus Christ answers the disciples by saying this in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, from verse 16 to 20. You know, he says these words to them. He says, and Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Or are you also yet without light? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters into a mouth goes into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. These are the things which defiles a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. We are in a season where we are sitting in the presence of God. And he says what defiles a man is not what is happening, what is coming from the outside. It is what is happening in your inside. I want you to use this season to check and say, Father, wherever there is darkness in my inside, let your light shine into it. Because I am a firm believer that the light of God is not only revelatory, but the light of God is also transformatory. Which means that the light of God has the ability to change your life. Most of us, when we are thinking of becoming 10 times better, we are thinking about what I can have, what I will own, what my business will look like, what my finances will look like. But I want us to also look at ourselves. What will my character look like when the light of God makes me 10 times better? Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Understand that we all have high things that wants to exalt themselves about the knowledge of God. All of us. That is why the Bible says we daily work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Glory be to Jesus. Which means we have a responsibility to become more and more like him every day. The Bible says by the word of God, our minds are renewed. Glory to God. There is what happened to your spirit when you got born again, which was instant and perfect. But there is something that happens to you daily as you yield yourself to the word of God. There is a transformation, a continuous salvation that happens as you yield yourself and submit yourself to the authority of the word of God. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3 to 5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Glory to God. Every day we have arguments in our lives. Every day we find ourselves in situations where we are arguing with the word of God. But the Bible gives us an instruction that we must bring into captivity every thought that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Say, I know Christ. Say, I know Christ. Hallelujah. The truth is that whenever the light of God shines into your heart, there is something in you that wants you to escape it. You want to find things, you know, to give reasons and excuses why you're doing what you're doing. But if you want to this year become all that God has called you to be, you need to say, Father, I yield to the light of your word. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. It's as the assignment of these high things that the Bible talks about is to silence the light of God's word. It is to silence the word of God in you. Glory to God. Because the word of God guides us all the time. But something wants to silence the knowledge of God in you. Say, it will not be my portion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is what we call a Lucifer mindset. Lucifer is different from Satan, although he's the same person. Lucifer was the archangel that, you know, had a throne that, you know, God had exalted him above other angels. And because of where he was, he became too proud. And he began to say that, I will exalt myself. My throne will be higher than the throne of God. It is a Lucifer mindset where we are not submitting our thrones to the throne of God. It was that throne that made him lose his position. The same thing happens to us. Whenever we exalt our thinking, whenever we exalt our opinions above the knowledge of God, we lose that which God ordained for us. We lose our positions in destiny because we do not want to yield ourselves to the mind of God. Glory to God. What are some of those arguments we have? You know, arguments like, I've already told you I'm going to pay lobola. What's wrong? We can stay together. It's an exaltation. You know what the word of God says. But something in you gives you a perfect excuse why you must do it. Glory be to Jesus. It can be money arguments as well. You know, where you know the word of God says, give the first of what you have to God. You read that, you believe it, you've seen it in scriptures. But that argument rises up. It begins to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ and say, Mara, you know you have bills. Mara, you know there are things I need to take care of. We begin to have those arguments that exalt themselves and are above the knowledge of Christ. Glory to God. Say, I yield myself to the knowledge of Christ. When it comes to prayer and fasting as well, we have those arguments. Or Mara, serious, Murudi. Is egg meat or vegetable? Hey. Those arguments that, Pastor, are you serious? 21 days. Do you hear what I'm saying? When it is 5 a.m. and your phone rings, the argument rises. You begin to find reasons. Mara, you know what time I slept, Mara, Pastor? As if it's Pastor's suggestion. The Bible says, early will I rise to give him praise. Hallelujah. It's scripture. It's not man's suggestion. Glory be to Jesus. All sorts of arguments. Arguments in our marriage as well. And arguments in our marriage is because sometimes we either don't have light or we ignore the light. And there's, you know, I want us to look at what scripture says about marriage. The book of Malachi chapter 2. From verse 13 to 16, I read the NLT translation. It says, here is another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings and does not accept them with pleasure. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you made, you and your wife made when you were young. But you have been unfaithful to her. Though she remained your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and in spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's army. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Hallelujah. Another translation actually says, you have been violent to her. Hallelujah. And we argue. We feel like we can treat our spouse anyhow. It's an argument. Because we forget that our marriage is a covenant. Hallelujah. Your marriage is not your initiative. Your marriage is God's initiative. As much as you think, I saw a girl and I liked her and I proposed, then it was your initiative. God orchestrated your meeting. God orchestrated your coming together. Above all that, you stood before God and you said, I take you to be my lovely wife. And yet you belittle her because you're the one paying the bills. You feel you can talk to her anyhow. You make her feel small and you think God is not watching. He is watching. Just because she does not have a qualification doesn't make her less. Actually, with your qualification, when you married her, you upgraded her to your level. Because the Bible says the two shall become one. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Before I married Pastor Joseph, I was a nobody. But when I married him, I became upgraded. I became Pastor Joseph's wife. You can argue that I didn't go to Bible college. My sister, that's your own. Do you hear what I'm saying? If he looks down on me, if he feels that my contribution is not important, he will miss out on what God has put in me to help him. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You have become mean and insensitive. Listen, women are sensitive beings. Pastor is always talking to us. Today, I dare here. Ladies, are there extraordinary girls here? You are mean to the point that her tears means nothing to you anymore. How? I am very sensitive by nature. Like, my tears are here. If I cry, he will do whatever he needs to do to make sure he finds out, what did I say anything? Did I do anything? What's wrong? Why are you crying? You need to be sensitive to her. Not even because of her, but because of God. The God that you stood before because of that woman. Glory be to Jesus. You disregard her counsel. She advises you on something. You treat it as if it's nothing. Somebody that is not even your spouse gives you the same counsel and you treat it like it's God. Error. Glory be to Jesus. These days we even speak of emotional cheating. Emotional cheating is not that you are in an affair with anybody. You're on your phone. 24 hours a day. She's trying to talk to you. And she's not getting your attention. You think God is not watching? Do you know that there is a scripture that says if your wife is not happy with you, your prayers can be hindered? It's a New Testament scripture. It's not Old Testament. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody is willing to open it. There are men that their businesses are grounded simply because there is a woman that is weeping alone. I'm telling you the truth. The light that must shine there today is for you to humble yourself. You know, Pastor likes to say to me, even when I'm the one that is wrong, he will say to me, "Hey, Marawata King, you're my baby. As the big woman that I am." He'll just say, whether you're the one who did wrong or I did wrong, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And he doesn't lose anything by saying, "I'm sorry." You don't lose anything. Ask that God will remove that which the enemy has put in your eyes that has twisted the way you see your husband, you see your wife. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You're flirting with everybody. Hallelujah. Listen, cheating alters a woman's psyche. I'm bringing light. Light in the areas of relationships. Hallelujah. Those who have ever cheated and the wife forgives them will tell you that the wife they married is different from the wife they have after cheating. I'm telling you the truth. When you see a woman forgiving and she has genuinely forgiven, it is God who did the work in her. You must love her enough to protect her, to guard her. The Bible says you must wash her with your words. Because you will present her, you must present her before the master without a wrinkle or spot. Hallelujah. There are words you say that wrinkles her. There are things you do that puts eternal spots. It will take the blood of Jesus to remove those kind of spots. Even when pastor says, say blood of Jesus, you're not saying blood of Jesus properly, but you've stained somebody. Hallelujah. I'm not coming with condemnation. Believe me, I'm not coming with war. I'm bringing light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 verse 19, the NLT translation, it says, "Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. All right. I want us to underline the first phrase where it says, and your desire will be to control your husband. I want you to realize that this was a curse, not a blessing. When you find yourself as the woman, I've spoken to women, to the men. Can I speak to the women? Yes. When you find yourself trying to control your husband, you are in darkness, my sister. There is darkness ruling there. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. No. I'm serious about this. Hallelujah. When you want to dominate him, you are battering him with words. You know, women have sharp mouths. There are women that if they speak to you, they can undress you with their words. Hallelujah. You are being disrespectful to him. And you expect him to stay. Hallelujah. You tell things to your family members about your husband that they don't know how to handle. Even when you sort it out, they look at him like a monster. Hallelujah. You control him with sex. It's an error. You are in darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're doing things that makes you unlovable. Because there are things that we do that makes us unlovable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And all you can do is point fingers and say, and say, and say. One of the lights that God gave to me after I got married was that he said to me, you know, sometimes as women, sometimes we see things before our husbands see them. Sometimes. Not always. or sometimes I think, okay, this is right. I think we should be going this direction. And I'll drop it to him and he will not receive it. He'll be like, no, I'm the head of this house. I don't think that's where God is taking this house. And I will argue with him. And then the Holy Spirit gave me this intelligence that has kept my marriage. He said he is the head. And there is kingdom order. He says, if you tell him something and he does not agree with you, back down. Even if what he's doing is an error, if you back down and come to me in prayer, you give me the platform to save him and save you. Listen, he says, but if he misses it and you rebel, there is no platform for me to work. Do you hear what I'm saying? Marriage is wisdom. Light is wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. We're talking about light. Tell your neighbor we're still under light. Hallelujah. Children, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 2 to 3, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and thou mayest live long on the earth. This is light. This is light. You honor your mother and your father. Hallelujah. Now we are giving birth to children that are early exposed to technology. They are early exposed to different things. Some of you, the children are early exposed to the knowledge of the world. And because they are exposed to such things, they think they are smarter than their parents. Listen, even if you are smarter than your parents, God has an instruction. And the instruction is honor them. Honor them so that it may be well with you. Hallelujah. Why are we seated here for 21 days? Because we want things to be well with us. That's what we want. That is what is on your prayer card. And he's saying, I'm showing you how things will get well with you. Honor your parents. Your parents ask you to do things. You're exalting your opinion above what they are telling you. Hallelujah. You are surprised why you're struggling in certain areas. There's no explanation for it. But scripture has given us explanation. You honor them. Do we have teenagers in the house? Hallelujah. Say, I honor my parents, that it may be well with me. Hallelujah. Another area where, you know, we miss it, especially our generation, is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you sit under a pastor and you submit yourself to that house, honor that pastor. Honor that servant of God in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. You might be older than him. You might have a higher qualification than him. You might even have a deeper revelation than him. But if God has put you under, you honor him. Hallelujah. The Bible says so that, listen to this. It says that he may do it with joy and not with grief. Refuse to be that person that puts grief in the heart of your man of God. It will not be you. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. It says so that it may be that he may not grieve, for that is unprofitable to you. Hallelujah. It's not what you even do that he sees or doesn't see. It's mostly because God looks at our hearts. It is what is happening in our hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 8 to 17. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are in the light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That is how you align your reasoning to the reasoning of God. Finding out what is acceptable to God. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shameful thing even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This awakening here is spiritual awakening. It is an awakening in your inside. Hallelujah. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. Say, I walk in understanding. I walk in light. Amen. I want to quickly just run through this and we close. Understand that when we speak about external darkness, we are talking about darkness that, you know, the enemy uses to attack externally the vital areas of your life. You know, those are things like your marriage, your children, your health, your finances, your career. But the good thing is, when we respond to external darkness, we respond with light because we have light. Hallelujah. We are equipped daily to deal with how to deal with external darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to challenge you this year as I close to take your spiritual development seriously this year. Take your spiritual growth seriously because it is not automatic. Understand that anything that must grow must gain your attention. Say, anything that must grow must gain my attention. Hallelujah. Understand that your life will always gravitate towards your focus. Amen. Focus and give it what it takes. Focus and give it what it takes to have light inside and to dominate your outside. In life, there are pathways to everything. Amen. Both success and failure have pathways. There are things you do and things you refuse to do that guarantees failure. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 to 11, shows us one of those things. It says, if you keep sleeping, a little sleep, a little slumber, it says poverty will come like an armed bandit. If you oversleep, or you sleep when you should be awake, because sometimes it's not that you overslept, it's just that you slept at the wrong time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Failure is guaranteed. Some of you are here, and some of you are going to varsity as I'm speaking to you. Your parents will not be there. But you know what? You know why your parents send you there. Go there and give it your all. Don't sleep when you're supposed to be awake. Hallelujah. Give it your all. Some of you, your families are depending on you to make it. You are the light of that family. Therefore, give it your all. Some of you, your moms and your dads have sacrificed so much than you realize just to make sure you have an education. Don't go there and miss it. Go there and focus on what is right. Glory be to Jesus. There are things in life that you omit and things that you commit that leads to failure. My second year in university, I don't know what got into me, but I became so casual. And I spent almost the whole year just, you know, when you have a meal card, because I think I had some kind of funding, just wake up, go and eat, go and watch movies, go and do this. This time I was the eldest of five kids of a single mother, and I failed. I failed. And I can do. I can pass. And I can pass with distinctions. But I failed. Because you might have even left matric, or you're leaving matric now with distinctions. But if you go there and omit certain things and do things you're not supposed to do, you might come back as the tail when you left at the head. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You must determine this year to overcome limiting factors. Because in life there are limiting factors. My husband likes to say that you must always give yourself a winning advantage. Do things in life that gives you an advantage above others. Hallelujah. Overcome besetting sins. Sins that pitches God against you. The Bible says a carnal mind is enmity to God. Hallelujah. The Bible actually says the prayer in Proverbs chapter 15 verse 8. The prayer of the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Do things this year that, you know what, do not limit you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel because they were ungrateful. Hallelujah. You know, there are prayers that God doesn't answer. Let me tell you one. A servant of God was sharing on how a woman came in a mess. She was tormented by things that, you know, he said, I've never had such things before. And he said, as I was about to pray for her, the Holy Spirit said, remove your hand. He said, what do you mean? He said, don't pray for her because I will not answer it. Said, wait, I've never seen that in the Bible. God gave him a scripture in Jeremiah that said, don't pray for them. God was telling Jeremiah, don't pray for them because I will not answer them. And he said, ask her, what did she do where she went, and gave a name of a certain place. And he said, what did you do in such and such a place? She said, you know, so it clicked that, you know, how did he know about that place? So definitely God was speaking. And she said, she created a lie about the pastor that he raped her. And the man lost his congregation and lost his family. And she ran away to a different city. And everything became a mess. That man has been crying to God since. And God said to her, tell her to go and go back and apologize to the man and to his family, because he lost his children. His children became a mess because somebody rose up with a lie and ended destinies. Hallelujah. And she began to repent and confess her sin. And she went, he said, go back and ask the man himself to pray for you so that whatever you are dealing with can be addressed. Don't do things this year that will pit you against God. And don't align yourself with people that will cause you to do things that will pit you against God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You cannot be half-hearted this year and walk with God. If you are in, you are in. Hallelujah. Refuse to walk your walk with God in shallow waters. You know, some of you are like adults. Have you seen those adults that in the swimming pool? They're in the children's section. Eh? A whole adult in the children's section. And sometimes they are in an Olympic swimming pool. But 40 years, they're still in the shallow section. And yet, they want to be the top. They want to be at the head. It does not work like that. Listen, the size of the swimming pool, especially with Olympic swimming pools, it enables you to do things that you cannot do in the children's pool or in shallow waters. For example, in the deeper swimming pool, you can dive in. Can you dive in the children's church, in the children's swimming pool? My sister, try it. Hallelujah. There are things of the spirit that God wants to lead you into. You must dive. You must dive. God was speaking to us this week and he said to us, there's a realm I want to take the church to. And he gave us a specific challenge. He said, I have opened that realm up for you, but I leave the choice to you to decide. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. In life, there are things that we call avoidable. Those of you who study engineering, you know that there are things called avoidable accidents and avoidable deaths. Many people are living in pain that could have been avoided. This year, make up your mind that if I can avoid it, I will avoid it. Whatever it is that will bring me pain, I will avoid it. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Let me stop here. Let's stand on our feet because my time has gone. You will not be one leg in and one leg out. As a church, it is our year of light. That means we are called for significant progress. Because wherever there is light, there is significant progress. Hallelujah. We are about to break new grounds. And when you are fully in with God, it means that when we say there is evangelism, you are in. Yeah. It means you don't say evangelism is for those people who don't have anything to do with their time. Because some of you, that's what you think. When pastor calls for evangelism, you're like, because that's what you assume. Hallelujah. This year, you must serve in the house of God. When you are told you must serve, you say, I'm too busy. I'm making money. And then we tell you there's a conference coming. You say, I don't have money. The pastor calls for a fasting. You're like, fasting is for those who stand on the pulpit. Why must I fast? Something must change. You cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Lift up your hands and begin to give God thanks.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com. as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.